Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Before we get started, support for this podcast comes from Boost with Facebook, whose podcast, Boost My Business with David Fisher, features unique perspectives and insight from business leaders and small business owners. Hear stories and anecdotes about businesses just like yours. Gain insight on what it takes to grow a business and learn from both the mistakes and triumphs of others. Download Boost My Business wherever you get your podcasts. That's Boost My Business Podcast.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Chalk Talk. I am so excited to be back. I'm your host, Taylor Davis, joined by McKenna Kelly, here to talk all things gymnastics. And it's been a couple weeks since we've done an episode because, like, full transparency, life's just really freaking weird right now.
Yeah.
And sometimes some weeks just don't allow for us to record an episode. Okay, full transparency here. But we are back. We're so excited to talk several different topics for you today. We've got another great guest, so it'll be like we didn't even skip a beat. But let's go ahead and catch up a little bit. McKenna, what you been up to?
Living life, trying to my gym has been open for over a month now, and we've been super fortunate to have most of our team girls back. Hours are finally consistent. I think I talked about this last time, but each week our hours have, as coaches and as, you know, the girls practice, our hours have been completely different, just depending on capacity rules and how we have to kind of construct practices for each group to get into the gym. So we finally hit a consistent schedule, which has been great for, I'm sure, the girls to get used to, but I know myself, I'm very thankful that I have some consistency. But things are looking good. Hopefully, I know cases are rising in Florida and here in Texas too. So bars and restaurants did reclose, and usually that would mean a place like the gym would be next. So we're really, really hoping that people stay safe, they wear their masks, and, you know, we're just crossing our fingers, hoping we can continue to stay open, because I know my girls have made so much progress, and so I'm really, really hoping for good things.
I know, it's been so tough. I am in Charlotte, and we are in phase two. We were supposed to have just gotten into phase three, but our governor extended phase two because we suck and weren't doing anything right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's almost harder to have like false hope than no hope.
Yeah.
I know that's like a really morbid statement, but I stand by it, you know,
because like your foot in the door, it's like you can see the end of the tunnel and then they shut it. Yeah, no, I hear you.
And then they close the tunnel altogether, so you can't see crap. Like, it's been tough mentally and it emotionally. Like, it's just had this really weird effect on everybody. And life just feels all sorts of out of whack. And we don't even know,
right,
like, when it won't if it will. It's just very daunting, honestly. But hopefully this episode gives everyone a little relief, a little entertainment if you're feeling the weight of everything that's going on. Nonetheless, let's go ahead and talk some gymnastics because we have a few stories that we want to talk about today. We are going to recap our meet of the week, which ended up being like a meet of the month. But nonetheless, we are going to recap Alabama. McKenna and I have so many thoughts about this team. And spoiler alert, they're really good. So I'm excited to get to recap that one. And then we have a former Alabama gymnast who is going to be calling in. Maddie Desch is going to join us and talk all about her competition days and different things going on in the landscape of the sport right now. So really excited to get to chat with her. But a few different things before we dive into our recap that I want to get McKenna's input on. Even though we don't entirely know what sports seasons are going to be, everyone is moving forward as if, you know, the sports seasons will be normal. And that is the case for gymnastics as well. So there have been some additions and some movement on coaching staffs that I am really excited about. So actually a couple former Bruins are getting into the NCAA coaching scene. And I think both of these hires are really, really great fits. So LIU Gymnastics, which as we have covered before is Long Island University's inaugural gymnastics program, they have added former UCLA gymnast Hallie Mossett to the coaching staff as an assistant coach and choreographer, which I think is such a great fit because she was a force to be reckoned with on floor. She has such great performance quality. And I think that's such an awesome fit. What a cool opportunity after graduating to jump into the first program at this university and really have the reins when it comes to creativity. I think that's going to be so cool to see her in that role.
Oh, definitely. And Coach Randy Lane, he's actually the kind of the man in charge of CGGI. And I've gotten to work with both him and Hallie, and they are incredible. And I think if I'm correct, I know Randy was obviously at UCLA. If he got to coach Hallie, that what a perfect combination, knowing who you're working with and who you're working for and bringing that culture and that kind of that program ideal together, that's going to be a force to be reckoned with. So I'm so excited. And I know they've already announced some of their recruits and they've got quite the talent. So that's going to be really, really fun to see kind of that first team and where they step, you know, where their pace is.
This is shaping up to be a really cool situation. I'm excited to see what they are able to put together. And then in a very similar situation, another former Bruin who is joining another former UCLA staffer. This is really like a parallel situation here. Felicia Hano is headed to Arkansas to join Jordan Weber on her staff as a volunteer assistant coach. So we've got a developing trend here at UCLA whenever they stick together, right? Clearly. And both of these coaches, when they got this opportunity, now some of their former athletes that they saw the potential of molding and teaching and shaping young gymnasts, and they're giving them the opportunity to be a part of it. I think this is another really great fit.
For sure. I mean, it makes sense. You take your people, you know, you're going to take who you know how they work. Jordan, obviously being familiar with Felicia and how she works as an individual, her mindset, her possible encouragement, how she is as a person. She's definitely going to take that into thought. Obviously she did. That makes sense to me. I know that's going to be a great fit. And Felicia she's such a fun person, passionate about what she does. And I think that's going to be great for the Razorbacks.
And another similarity is how fun and performance driven Felicia is on floor. And I really think that that's something that this Arkansas program needs to emphasize.
Good point.
And not that Jordan can't do that, but I wouldn't necessarily say that is her specialty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you look back on her competition days, obviously it was elite. So she was very serious and very, you know, focused all the time. And I think they need somebody in that program to bring out the personality on floor and kind of allow them to let loose a little bit. And so I think a really great coach is aware of their own deficits.
Love
because it. You're not a great coach if you think you're good at everything.
That's
you know
good.
That you have weak spots and you need to fill them with the people who have those as strengths. And I think Jordan knows that that is not necessarily where she is going to be putting all of her effort and emphasis, but someone like Felicia could really make a difference. So I think that was an excellent call on Jordan's part.
Perfectly said. That's exactly what I was going to say. It seemed Jordan's very stoic, very business-like, and I think Felicia will help them let loose, find that balance. And I think the Arkansas team could let loose a little bit. I feel like they've got talent. Each year they get better, and they're trying so hard to prove like why they're in the SEC and that they're good enough to hang. And I think it'll be good for them to find confidence in a more relaxed way.
Yes. I completely agree. I'm really excited to see both of these former gymnasts become coaches and who knows where it'll lead. We might see them in a head coach role one day.
Yeah.
So definitely the start of something exciting. Well, I want to move on to another just really amazing story. Denver's Lindsey Brown has said that she will be vying for the Olympic team to represent Haiti. Now, this story, I love. As you listeners know, we recapped Denver not too long ago, and unfortunately, we recapped the meet where Lindsey tore her Achilles on floor.
Wow.
It was absolutely terrible because this girl has so much talent, and beyond that, she has so much heart that she brings to this team, and it was so challenging to see it end in such a devastating way. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, the season also ended due to a global pandemic, so it was kind of a double end for her season. And so she has actually put out an article saying that she is going to pursue the Olympic experience to the best of her ability. She says it has always been a dream of hers, but more than that, it was always something that her mom wanted for her. And unfortunately, her mom passed away last year. So she says she is going to see this one through and quote, "This one's for you, mom." So cue the tears. I mean, like, my heart just, such a beautiful sentiment, obviously so sad, but such a beautiful sentiment that she is taking, honestly, I mean, like, the passing of your mother, the rupturing of your Achilles, a horrible end to season because of a global pandemic, and you're turning it into a positive, and you are making it a goal for yourself. You are using it as motivation to, A, continue your mom's legacy, do something that you know would have brought joy to her, but also continuing to pursue something that you wanted and not be deterred by the fact that you had a gruesome injury. Like, I have so much respect for Lindsey Brown, and I hope that she is able to make it and that we see her compete for Haiti. But even if not, the fact that she is pursuing this and has set her sights on the Olympics after rupturing her dang Achilles and losing her mother, I couldn't respect her anymore if I tried. I think she's phenomenal.
Talk about chills.
Right?
It's just, that is so, so inspiring. And not only is this a story for herself, and what a way to come back from such devastating events in her life, for her to find that half glass full mentality. But what an example to other gymnasts. That is just a testament to her passion, as you mentioned, and as it's very obvious. She seems like someone who's very goal oriented. If she's got a vision, she's going to chase after it. You could see that in her gymnastics. Very dynamic of a person, I feel. And that is going to be, I'm a number one fan in this journey. What,
right?
What a cool story. And I am hoping for the best for her.
100%. She has two fans right here. That is for sure. Well, also a bit of an emotional story, but definitely want to discuss this because this is kind of a hot topic right now. Honestly, I think there are a lot of people discussing what is going on in gymnastics, things that have gone on prior in gymnastics, and really conversations are being had at a higher volume and rate and on higher platforms. And that is absolutely crucial in order to fix some of the problems. Yeah. So I am happy to partake in these conversations and to continue to give a voice to where change is needed. And this is another example of where that's being done. Shawn Johnson has released a heartfelt and vulnerable YouTube video in regards to her struggles due to a life in gymnastics spent pursuing perfectionism. So she discussed how that pursuit of perfectionism in gymnastics translated into all other aspects of her life, which led to an eating disorder, anxiety, depression. She reveals improper use of medications, a 700-calorie diet while competing. And really, like, the entire video, I will say, if anyone hasn't watched it, it's like a 24-minute video, and it also relates into how her, you know, husband and pregnancy and having her own baby kind of finally helped her heal.
Wow.
From a lot of the things that she went through. But highly recommend you go watch it. It's on their YouTube channel. But all of this just goes right into the same conversation that we have had multiple times and that people are continuing to have. The common issue in gymnastics, which is compounded by the fact that you have this small window to accomplish this very far-fetched dream, and the pressure associated with it, and the great lengths that you feel like you have to go to in order to attain that dream. She said that everything that she ate, everything she wore, who she interacted with, everything had the purpose of reaching the Olympics. So when that was over, you don't really know what life even is or who you are. So it makes sense that you're going to fall into some anxiety and depression issues. So, I mean, I've heard so many gymnasts discuss it, but really, the psychological implications that this sport has taken on so many is really, really heartbreaking. And it's why things like the USAG abuse scandal and the Maggie Haney case, these have to be stopped. They have to be taken seriously because this sport is challenging enough, okay? And the environment in which it's done and the people in positions of authority have to be genuinely good. Yeah. Good environments, good people, because there's far too much at risk.
I think, absolutely. I think the fact that, well, one, think about how many of these gymnasts that have been hurt, how that have gone through these terrible, terrible things that no one should go through. The fact that they have the strength to stand up because they know what I went through, no one should have to go through. Like, that's not a part of our sport. It shouldn't be. And the fact that it is a cultural thing, that the treatment, the way the coaches talk to their athletes, that's not okay. And that shouldn't be in the culture. So the fact that we have gymnasts, even if it's taken this long, the fact that we're having these conversations, finally, I'm trying to think half glass full, everyone. The fact that Shawn Johnson made that video, I can't imagine how daunting and scary that was for her. Because if you think about it, and this is the same thing that a lot of athletes who are mistreated have to ask themselves, you know, they're like, but I accomplished my dream. So was everything that I went through, was it really that bad? And I can't imagine that Shawn didn't feel that same way sitting down and making that video, how scared she might have felt, like, oh crap, like what if I'm wrong? And you're not wrong, because no one can take away what you felt. No one can tell you what your experience was. So the fact that we have these incredible athletes stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, this is what I went through, this is what wasn't okay, and this is what needs to change, is so crucial for those next steps in towards change. I think you made a really good point of our coaches, those in authority, those in charge, have got to be good people. But not only that, but they have to be healed people. I think they have to be people who have been through their own things but are on the other side of it. Because if we have people who haven't been through, you know, been through life experiences with wisdom, with maturity, with experience, they won't be able to relate. They won't be able to see all sides of the picture. And we have to have someone who has that bird's eye view mentality of what should be okay, what shouldn't be okay, and allowing those athletes to step up and speak, because it's so important to remember that broken, like, hurt people hurt people. So if we have these coaches who went through their own things, who aren't healed people, who haven't dealt with their own trash, they're going to project that onto our athletes. And we're just going to keep creating generations of abused athletes, of broken people. And that's not what this sport needs to be. This is a sport that is so beautiful, that provides so much opportunity, that teaches you so many life lessons. And it should be built on that, not on brokenness and hurt. So we still have a long way to go, but it's little victories like this of Shawn being able to share her story and documentaries like Athlete A shedding light.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And the people that we are allowing to lead these young athletes have to be held to the highest standard. And it feels like they haven't been held to a standard at all.
No.
And that is a huge part of why we are now privy to the problems that have been existing for a really long time. But, you know, Shawn talks openly about how she, after gymnastics, she started working with a nutritionist and a therapist.
Yeah.
And she worked with them for like 10 years, and they have been instrumental in getting her to a healthy point mentally and physically. But I would say, you know, maybe to parents with young gymnasts, that's not a bad idea to have them involved in while they're in the sport. Right. Have a therapist that they are comfortable with, or a nutritionist that their coach is also in communication with. Like, we have to be giving these young athletes resources to be healthy, because if it's not in the gym, they're not going to look for it elsewhere without your guidance. So, you know, she spoke very highly about her therapy and her nutritionist getting her back on track, but unfortunately the damage had already been done. Mm-hmm. So I think that a really great point in that potentially to be taken away is that, you know, if the environment is creating unhealthy habits, resources like therapy and a nutritionist might be the very thing that keep them from getting to that dark place. Sure. So just another great reason why these conversations need to be had, because maybe it'll spark ideas and healthier habits. And if we save one athlete from going through some of the abuse and the struggles that this sport can cause, then we're improving. Yeah. And so we'll at least take that. But, and McKenna, like you mentioned, Athlete A, which we do want to say has officially been released, if anyone's living under a rock and did not know, the documentary on Netflix about basically the entire Larry Nassar USAG abuse scandal and how it was finally released. It was just a small IndyStar newspaper, these reporters that took this story to the level that it needed to be at. And obviously the involvement of Maggie Nichols as the first athlete to come forward and the potential, I guess debatable to some, but seem obvious implications that it had on Maggie's career, and just a variety of things and plot holes in the USAG community. And ooh, they unpack a lot. So everyone, I think it's incredibly important that we are educated on everything that is going on for these athletes so that we can be protectors of them. Because if no one knows the risks associated, no one's going to be looking to be their defense. So I think everyone should watch it, go support. McKenna and I are going to watch it, and we have decided to use that as our recap for the next episode. So instead of having a meet of the week and talking about a team, we're going to recap Athlete A. So if you are interested in that analysis and recap, you got a couple weeks to watch it. If you haven't already, that will be our next episode. But on a lighter note, let's go ahead and do our meet of the week recap and talk about the University of Alabama. This week we recapped Alabama versus Missouri, and I am really excited to talk about this one because I will just preface it by saying that I think this team was vastly underrated.
Oh my God.
This past season, really? And I was so confused when I actually sat down to analyze this, why there wasn't more hype around this team this past year. And I know that we intentionally picked a meet that they did really well. We look at the scores ahead of time, so we know that that was arguably the best representation of what this team was putting out. But you have to assume that this is as close to what you would get in postseason as we're aware of. So I was incredibly blown away. So let's go ahead and start on Vault and just walk through all of the impressiveness.
No, but seriously, I could not believe what I was seeing. We so often, well, we used to hear Bama, Bama, Bama as a national championship contender. They were always, I mean, they were the top dog. They were that Oklahoma for so long. And so they kind of fell off, and you kind of just assumed, well, if they're not being talked about, they're not that good. But what I watched, I don't know why we're not talking about them. So agreed. Let's go ahead and get into it. Vault, we started off with Ella Burgess. Beautiful stuff, full. I think the best start we've seen since breaking down the meets. They didn't show a side view, and I really wish we could have gotten that, but they did, luckily, throughout the rest of the vault rotation. Shay Mahoney, slight under rotation. It looked like she probably tried to stick, but it was beautiful in the air. Third up was Luisa Blanco. Small hop back, but great distance. She was a little small in her height off the table. I would have liked to see more. But I was loving these fools from Alabama. I think the commentator had mentioned the first three were going to be your Chanko fools, and the rest we would see more difficulty, more of the one and a halves there. So by far the best fools we have seen in this vaulting season throughout these meets. All of their form is beautiful in the air. I love their shapes. Fourth up was Shallon Olson. She was a little squatty on the double. I would have liked to have seen the second twist upward before her landing and not kind of corkscrew and twist into the ground. But she made it all the way around. She's obviously a seasoned vet when it comes to that vault. Lexi Graber up in the fifth spot. Huge one and a half. Very clean in the air. Almost a suck landing. Pulled her arms up a little too quickly to get that stick. But classic college gymnast, we try to cover that by, oh my gosh, did you see how good that was? I'm so excited. But to the untrained eye, that looks like a stick, but to us people who know what's going on, you didn't fool us there. But oh, I've been there, I've done that myself, I get it.
Totally.
Sixth, Makari Doggett. I'm going to go ahead and stick with Makari. We butcher these names so badly, but
I know. And then everyone gets mad. We're sorry.
No, man, I'm so sorry. Makari is fabulous. A huge one and a half. Small shuffle on her landing. It was kind of like, seriously, she just shuffled her heel back so slightly. But they mentioned that was her first competitive vault. It was very, very nice. I just wrote kind of to summarize, by far the best vault team we've seen overall. Small steps on the landing, but pretty controlled. Their shapes in the air were very good. Little to no pike down in their vaults, which is extremely impressive because I feel like throughout this whole all these meet recaps, we've seen so much pike down. And they kept their shapes, and I was really, really happy to see that.
I agree. I was impressed with this vault lineup. Finally, they did start before the rotation and say that the lowest scoring event this season for Bama was vault. And I was like, oh, here we go. Everybody sucks at vault this season. But I was so impressed. After 3 year Tenko Foles, though, I was like, oh man, do they have this many 995s? And then boom, double, beautiful one and a half, beautiful one and a half. So like the lineup definitely built.
Yeah.
And I was impressed right off the bat. Honestly, for Makari, after vault, I literally wrote, that's a freshman ? And little did I know she was gonna freaking go nuts the rest of them. I mean, like, this girl is going to be one to watch for the next 3 years. Definitely some underclassmen that I think are going to have this program going in the right direction.
For sure. And they definitely took that momentum to bars. Like, I could not believe what I was seeing. I was like, how are they not top three? Like, this so far, if we're just putting vault in bars, I was like, oh my gosh, they're good. So they start off strong with Kylie Dixon. I literally wrote jaw drop. She was so patient, so clean, beautiful handstands and lines, huge amplitude on her Takachev. Like, oh my gosh. Like, and I'm thinking, this is their leadoff. Like, you're telling me that it gets better from here? Like, that's wow. So she killed it. Winter Childers up next. I wrote pretty good. A little short in handstands, but very clean, good rhythm. I wasn't aesthetically pleased with that dismount. That's not my favorite thing to see. It's just a personal preference. But I mean, she did great. The commentators did mention she was only limited to bars. So, you know, maybe the short on handstands, just a little timid with an injury or something. But Winter has been such a staple for this Alabama team over the years. So anything she does, I'm like, that's great. She's great. So she did great. She did fine. Third up was Lexi, another gymnast with great lines. She's small separation on the ginger, a little bit of messy feet on the dismount, but nailed her landing. You know, and it's important to remember that strategically you do stack the lineup according to kind of how people play out. So you want to start off strong, and of course you want to end strong. You put those little, the girl, I mean, obviously anyone that's in the bar lineup, you're really good at what you do. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're going to try to cover the smaller things. If someone has that constant leg separation or they can't quite get that leg straight on their giants, like you're going to try to hide that. Obviously you're stacking your team to try to win. So, I think they did a good job of how they put girls up. Fourth up was Jen C. Givens. Nothing to do with her gymnastics, but I wrote, love her bangs. She is cutest. I mean, we're so used to slick back buns. So
she's cute in things.
Yeah, she was super cute. But I wrote, this is beautiful. She's so long and graceful, yet super dynamic. She had a beautiful double lay. Such a great arch, and I loved the turnover of it. Fabulous landing. Then we see Shay. I wrote again with the lines and the form. So nice and clean. A little short on handstands, but holy moly, that dismount was massive. I mean, huge.
Yep.
So much turnover, so much amplitude. I mean, she dropped out of the sky. And then we wrapped it up with Makari. A little short on handstands, but super clean. I wrote, this team seems very patient. They let their bodies finish their gymnastics before their next connection. Connection or flip. I was very impressed, especially with this bar rotation.
I was like gobsmacked watching this bars lineup. I thought it was so beautiful. And I think I've said this before. Kathy Johnson Clark one time told me when I was like building my gymnastics like standhood that the sign of a really great bar worker is when you can't tell how hard it is to swing.
Yeah.
She was like, it shouldn't look like they're muscling it the entire time. That from 1 to 6, this entire team did that. I mean, it was like they've been swinging bars like instead of walking. Like they just, it was effortless for them. And you know good and well, it takes a crap ton of effort. So I was so impressed by this lineup. And I actually read an article because this team actually did deal with a good bit of injuries and they had to do a lot of substituting and lineup changes this season. So there wasn't a ton of continuity, which can be a struggle, but I read that where that was least problematic for them was bars because they had like 9 options each week for the bar lineup. Like they basically had a depth chart. It seemed like it had artistry and you don't often see that on bars. Like it just had this fluidity to it. And I was so impressed. This was my favorite rotation for them.
Oh, hands down, hands down. Over to the beam. We start off with Shallon. I wrote pretty good routine. A little boring to me. Little bit of form too, but and a stellar dismount.
Except the dismount.
Dismount was ridiculous. If you first,
like, who does that?
You know, and if you guys didn't catch, so she is a Canadian national team member, and she actually had a meet. She would be flying out the next day to an elite competition in, on like that Sunday. So for her to be competing, she competed all around at this meet, at your home meet. I am physically feeling how I would feel the next day after a home meet. I'm all around. I cannot imagine how she got in a plane and went to doing a whole nother thing and probably with more difficulty. Like I was mind blown. Trinity Thomas, I think, took that route too with the whole elite college thing. And I don't know. You guys are a different breed of athletes. So anyway, you go, girl, because just I don't get it. I never will. On to Alonza Klopfer. I wasn't a fan of the wolf turn. She had a little bit of knees on her series. She tried to stick her dismount. You could see her trying to open up to stick. She is a beautiful gymnast. Someone that I've always been excited to watch at Bama. And so it was fun for me to be able to sit down and get to watch her actual routines. I'm excited to see the rest of her career unfold as well. Back to Ella, we saw her start on vault. She had a one arm handspring layout, which I love the uniqueness of that. She had a super weird, I feel maybe an uncharacteristic wobble on her switch leap. I mean, I'm not familiar with her gymnastics and where she kind of makes mistakes, but that to me, that's a very basic skill, especially at the college level. So I was very confused why that happened. I mean, probably she's trying to rush her connection, but anyway, onto Makari. She had a bit of form on her knees, impressive leap connection. A little funky on her dismount landing, but she made the stick work. She kind of turned her wobble into like a slow raised arms for her stick. Obviously, to do that, you have to know your body. You have to know how to move with your body as it moves. I know this being a coach, I see a lot of my girls, if they have their stick landing and then they throw their arms around and try to save it. And I'm like, you had that. So for her to be patient with her body, she knows what she's doing. Then we had Louisa. Oh my gosh, was this girl so stunning. We got to see, I don't know if we did, maybe I watched this on my own, her beam routine at Auburn. I was jaw drop. I was like, she's a freshman and I cannot wait to see how beautiful her work will be continuing on as she builds her confidence, something we talk about with freshmen. I wrote stunning, works the beam like it's the floor. She's so sure of herself and her gymnastics. She kind of had a Reagan Campbell-esque vibe to me. Didn't have too much turnover on her dismount. I'd like to see more round off or more turnover in the round off to get more rotation in that double. But I mean, she was amazing. Amazing. I loved watching her. Then we finished off with Lexi. She had a super cool mount, a little off on the series. I thought she actually looked a little nervous to me. She has a very serious kind of Jade Degovea vibe from OU, kind of that serious stoic look. So I think she played it off well, but I do, maybe being a gymnast to gymnast, I could tell she was a little nervous. A little small in her switch leap, but very impressive three-quarter straddle jump, and she had a beautiful finish. So overall, I'd say beam isn't their best. It was still very good. There was a lot of change in each routine, a lot of different skills, which I know you and Taylor and I, we love to see that. But I mean, I thought they did good.
I agree. Honestly, when I watched bars and it had as much finesse as it did, I was like, oh, well, of course beam's going to be great. And it was. It absolutely was. But honestly, like following bars is just like really tough because they were that phenomenal on bars. But I appreciated the finesse that was there. Like I just said, the performance factor, that has always been something that Dana Duckworth takes very seriously. Beam was always her specialty when she was in college. Mm-hmm. So she really, really emphasizes those things as a coach. And I certainly appreciate that, the little details and nuances on beam, because everything does matter. But once again, just really impressed with some of the underclassmen, Makari, Louisa, even Ella. Like, I really see a lot of potential in her. I love the way that she performs. So just a couple little things here and there, a couple little wobbles. But overall, again, just so impressed with this team. Like, I really was. By this point, I was like, oh, they're actually legit. Like, I don't know why it's not like no one talks about them. Don't get me wrong. They're still Bama and they were still in the top 10, but there's just been this weird perception associated with them lately that they're not what they once were. Mm-hmm. I actually don't think that's the case. I think that there likely was some lulls, whether it was, you know, injury driven.
As that's normal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have that every time, but there's also been seasons where intentionally Alabama took it really slow in regular season because you get to regionals and everyone's basically starting from scratch.
Yep.
So I don't think that this team would not have made a run in postseason. I really don't.
No, me either. I think it's interesting that Bama is always talked about, but I think it's because of their legacy, not necessarily because of what's going on right now currently. But with this team, it should be what
it should have been.
Exactly.
You're 100% right.
So moving on to final rotation, start off with Shay. I wrote, I feel like someone from Alabama always has this music. I don't know.
The big band?
Yes, someone always has a big band music. What a great dancer, though. Huge smile. It went along well with the music, and I really enjoyed the music. It was a really good piece. Huge double tuck, beautiful leaps, a bit of a chest down on her pike, and the commentator did mention that apparently that was supposed to be a front layout in her second pass, a front pike. Great double pike to finish. Again, I wrote, really like this routine. Great energy for her. Then we had Griffin James. We haven't seen her yet, so I thought a little long on her full in. I'd like to see more height. In a full in, you want a good set. You're going to take that twisting arm, pull it up as well as your hip, and I'd like to see that more from her in the beginning. She had actually Ashley Knapp's floor music. I couldn't remember what year, but that was fun for me. She was a super slow turnover on her last pass on that layout to Rudy. I don't know if she was really trying to control that thing or what, but her chest was super down and it was a super slow finish for her. We had Shallon up next and I wrote chills. So cool. Love the double-double. It's really cool to see like crazy difficulty in the college world, as we know we've seen from Mikayla Skinner. But again, Shallon was prepping for an elite meet, casual, no big deal. Good leaps, and I wrote great last pass. So pretty good from Shallon. Also a great performer, I might add. Then we had our girl, Maddie Desch, who we'll hear from later. Great double pike and landing. Cool connection pass for her second one. And I think she is supposed to do a front tuck out of that split jump. She looked a little crooked, but she's also, being an elite athlete, she knows her body and she knows if she can't go for something, how to cover for it. And she did great. You would have never known. Beautiful leaps. I said the routine seemed really long, but I think it was just because the couple before only had two passes. But she had a great finish with a double tuck, and Maddie's also like always so fun to watch. She's super bubbly personality. And it really speaks through her gymnastics. Then we had Makari, a great piked full in. I wrote best choreography so far. I thought she really showed off and it was fitting to her personality and how she dances. And I really loved that. A little stiff-legged on the landing for the last pass, but a great routine. And then they capped things off, finished the meet off with Lexi. She moved her foot before the music started. And I don't know if you guys saw that. But there's always a designated timer. So there's always someone timing your floor music because you only have a certain allotted time. If you start before your music, the second your body moves, they start the time. She moved her foot before the music started. So that could be a deduction because the routine will start. The routine isn't based off of the length of the music. They're going to time you regardless. And so if you go over the time, you will be deducted. And that could have potentially been an issue. I mean, I doubt it, but that's something at LSU. I know DD was obsessed with making sure that those little things didn't, that the controllables, right, that we would make sure we had those down. So DD would be timing us on everything. But I think she needed more set on her full in the first pass, but really great front through to double pike to finish things off. Overall, I think floor and beam are Bama's weakest points, but they still brought it. They still had difficulty. They still had landings, and they were pretty clean. You could see a little bit, maybe fatigue, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, having the same athletes as all-rounders up and being ready for each event. That could definitely have some wear and tear on them and how they perform, but overall, I'm blown away at this Alabama team, and I'm so sad that we couldn't see how they would have done in postseason.
I completely agree with you. The only thing that I had with floor,
yeah,
with as much talent as there is, and I know you can still get your full score, blee, blue, blah. I don't like the two-pass routines.
Yeah.
And there were too many of them for a program like Alabama.
I hear you. I got beat at the national championship by a couple two-pass routines, and I was so mad.
It's not, it just doesn't make sense.
I worked my booty off from an Achilles tear to get a three-pass routine back to be my two-pass routine.
And a really freaking hard three-pass routine. That was my thing. But I think that this team is the Alabama that everyone expects them to be. Yeah. And for some reason, they were just under the radar this season. I actually read an article where Coach Duckworth said that she was out doing something, running an errand or something, and someone came up to her and was like, "Coach, I'm sorry y'all are having a rough season." And she was like, "We're not." Wow. Like, so it's not just us. There was some weird perception that this program has been struggling. And, you know, that is something that they need to figure out and iron out. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but it's not a reflection of the caliber athletes. And it didn't seem to be a reflection of their quality of competition this season. So kind of a conundrum, really. What was this? Our seventh recap? And they were better than some of the ones that we've recapped so far.
No,
so.
Agreed. Without a doubt. Hands down.
There's that.
Well, I'm excited to hear from Maddie and hear what she has to say about her senior season and how she felt about this team too.
Absolutely. Well, what a good transition. Without further ado, let's bring her in.
Former U.S. national team member, as well as former member of the University of Alabama gymnastics team. Everyone, welcome. Maddie Desch. Hey, Maddie, how are you?
I am great. How are y'all doing?
We're good, you know, just hanging in there, podcasting away. Well, Maddie, we want to go ahead and jump on into talking about your amazing career. And before we get into, you know, some of the depth and the more serious questions, I just want to, you know, start with a little bit more generic, just about kind of your collegiate experience. You know, you've had some time to kind of look back on it now that it's wrapped up. I mean, albeit in a very weird way, but nonetheless, you have moved on and are now an alum. But when you look back and are able to really cherish the fact that you were a gymnast at the University of Alabama, what does that mean to you? What was it like to compete for the Tide?
I think one of the most important aspects that I took away from being a part of Alabama gymnastics team was just like the sense of being a part of a team. Cause you know, like I'm sure that, you know, people have heard this before, but when you're in elite gymnastics, it's all, you know, you are competing as a team, but like your individual performance matters so much. And so it kind of, you know, you all come from different clubs. So it does have like a individual feeling. But when you come to college, you know, you are putting all these pieces to make, you know, the best performance, you know, best six people out there. So, you know, you may not compete every event, but it's just like that gives you, you really learn a lot about what it means to be a part of a team and how, you know, it's not all about you. And it's not like your performance obviously matters, but it's just like you want the people next to you to do just as well as you want to do yourself. And I thought that was like one of the best parts in just having, you know, being a part of a team like that. It was really a cool feeling. And I also just, you know, loved competing at Alabama. I thought that the crowd and the fans were always just very supportive and very loving and just were very, very good to us. And so I loved it.
That's awesome.
I so understand that. And every time we have, especially a senior on the show, I always love to ask, you know, talk to us about the recruiting process and what were your final decisions when you came down to making that choice? And I guess what ultimately made Alabama quote unquote home for you?
So it actually, that's funny that you asked. To be honest with you, when I was kind of looking at colleges, it really wasn't at like the forefront of my mind. Like it was kind of just, you know, kind of pushed back because, you know, at that time we had other priorities. However, ever since I was, oh gosh, I might have even been in eighth grade, I knew, or like I thought I knew that I wanted to go to Stanford. Mm-hmm. I just was very, I loved like how it was a very prestigious school academically, and that was something that I really valued. And So I was always just really set on Stanford. And it wasn't until my junior year that it was really cool, because Dana Duckworth had kind of always we were kind of always in contact, and was, I would get letters, and, you know, I would see her. And then I think I eventually had reached out to her, and she's like, she just kind of said, you know, come down and just like, come down for a visit, just come see the campus. And, you know, that's all I asked. Just like, come see us. And so I scheduled an unofficial visit. And meanwhile, this is, you know, way later than people normally commit, because Stanford has a little bit different process, because you have to be accepted into the school before you can really like commit. You know what I mean?
Right. So, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, this is like my junior year. And so I went and I visited, and it was one of those things that I left and I was like, this is where I'm going. Like, it was like, yes, it felt like home, but it was just like a feeling like this is where I'm supposed to be. So I kind of, it was really crazy too, because I wanted to, I wanted to commit like on my trip, but my mom, you know, was like, you know, let's go home, like, you know, lay it all out, let's discuss it, talk to your dad. And so, you know, after a little bit of thought, I was like, I think overall this is where I'm supposed to be.
That's awesome. You're right, McKenna. I feel like in some way, shape, or form, everyone's experience, it happens differently, but you all have that same epiphany moment at different places. But I think it's all part of the plan. And when you look back, you're able to be like, wow, I'm so glad I made that decision. And I love hearing those stories from you guys. But Maddie, give me a little insight specifically about the program at Alabama, because gymnastics fans, you know what a powerhouse the University of Alabama has been. I mean, there are 30 for 30s about the Alabama gymnastics program. This is a program that was the mecca for college gymnastics. And this is always a program that you expect to see on the national championship stage. You guys get top-notch talent year after year. You know how to compete. But we are now in an age of NCAA gymnastics where there is just an explosion of talent across the country. The SEC has stepped it up. Teams like Oklahoma, UCLA, Michigan, Denver. There is talent everywhere now. It's arguably the toughest field that there has been in years. So while you are at a program with excellence, it's almost more of a challenge to attain it now, but there's an expectation associated with Alabama. How do you balance that as an athlete, knowing what people expect from the program, but also knowing how insanely difficult it is to compete in the NCAA right now?
Well, first off, I think that, you know, it's so true how the bar of talent has just been raised so much, like, you know, just even a few years ago, it is like way different. However, I do think it pushes others who have been there, you know, a few years prior. It really just pushes everyone to follow along with that bar, you know, and be lifted up with, you know, the surrounding talent. And so I think that, like, it really is definitely motivating. I know I can say that for sure. And it just is, I think it's exciting because, you know, it brings more attention to the sport and the attention that it deserves. Yeah. And so I love it. I think it makes it super fun and super competitive, and we all want to, you know, do our best. But I would say that Alabama, they really value just class and being a good, classy program. Mm-hmm. And we are also just really blessed with amazing resources, just, you know, as far as training table, weight room, taking care of our injuries. And so I just think that it is kind of like the whole package that has allowed us to, you know, stay towards the top. However, I just think that with any program, there's always, you know, something that you can learn from years prior. And so I think it's just currently in development to kind of get back on top to where they have been in years past. So I think it's just with the bar being raised as far as talent goes, you know, it's just it takes time to, you know, follow that, I guess you could say.
Well said.
Yeah, very well said.
I do want to get your input, Maddie, because a large theme of our episode today and a huge thing that McKenna and I have been talking about has just been, you know, the different, you know, negative impacts that gymnastics is having on athletes. And there's been a lot of talk lately, obviously, with the Athlete A documentary coming out, but also the YouTube video that Shawn Johnson put out. I don't know if you've seen anything in regards to that. She was very transparent just about how when she got out of gymnastics, she wasn't entirely sure how to operate as a normal human because everything she had done until that point was under the premise of how does this affect my sport? How does this get me to the Olympics? And how that affected her eating habits and her dressing and people in her life, all the different emotional pressures that come along with the sport. So I would just be curious, you know, your take as someone who did compete at the elite level. Then you also went, you know, into a very competitive conference in NCAA. Kind of your different experiences just with some of, you know, the emotional weight that comes with a sport like this. But, you know, how, if any young gymnasts are listening, how they can kind of combat that, how they can deal with those struggles in a healthy way.
Right. Yeah, definitely a very relevant topic for today.
Yeah.
And I honestly have a lot of emotions, I think, going on. You know, I definitely watched Athlete A, and first off, I want to say that I can relate to that documentary and a lot of the things that they said were just so insanely accurate. And it really, honestly, when I watched it, it did bring back a lot of things that I kind of pushed away. And I also can thank college for kind of helping me find the love for the sport again, even though, you know, it wasn't all perfect, even in college. You know, it always has its ups and its downs. But I am thankful that I was able to end on the note, going to college, and on that note, because I think it really left me more on the positive side. In the sense of the way I felt about gymnastics, I do know elite. I do think about I was very blessed, you know, go to different countries and you know, represent our country. And I think that, you know, there's not really anything that compares to wearing USA on your back. However, you know, what a lot of people don't see are the insanely long days and the, you know, the injuries that you just continue to work on, even though you know that there's something wrong. And even just, you know, the treatment and the pressure from the coaches. And I just have a lot of mixed emotions. And how I can say, though, to kind of, to summarize, is I think that I am thankful for it, because it has shaped me to be who I am today.
Sure.
And to be honest, I am very proud of who I've grown to be. And it's made me stronger. And I can handle a lot more than people my age can because of it.
Hmm.
And I think there are things that I'm still working through, even to this day, whether I realize it or not. There are still definitely mental battles.
Sure.
With body image, eating, and just, you know, comparing myself to my 16-year-old body, you know, before I went to college, and thinking that, you know, that's how I should look when now I'm a grown woman, and it's not like that.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, you know, I definitely would not want to go back and relive it.
Yeah.
However, I wouldn't change it, because I am who I am today because of it. And I know that God put those battles in my life to bring me closer to Him and make me stronger. And so I knew that, you know, it was in His plan, and I was meant to go through all that.
I completely agree with you. And I think it's kind of brought things to the forefront out of so many athletes that maybe they had suppressed for years. And now that those conversations are being had again, and people are being a little more vulnerable and transparent, it feels like the space is getting safer to talk about it, which I think is, mm-hmm. is going to be really helpful for the next generation of athletes. But I want to ask both of you, actually, McKenna, you answer this one too. If you guys have daughters that want to pursue a career in gymnastics, what is a piece of advice that you would pass on to your daughter about how to handle the environment in gymnastics? Maybe a piece of advice that you found later in life has helped you both.
I kind of have two points.
Okay.
Yeah.
One would be that it's not personal because I know being a young gymnast, everything that was said to me, I took to heart. I took it so seriously. And I think that's one of the hard things, because the sport involves such young girls, is that, it becomes us. We identify as a gymnast. And I think that that was something that kind of hurt me when I was younger, was I just take things so personally that it kind of took away from my view of my self-worth. And I feel that's one thing. And I think the other thing would be just kind of, at the end of the day, life is not all about gymnastics.
Yes.
It's an amazing sport. It's taught me a lot. It's made me very strong. And it is like a very unique sport, but there is life after gymnastics. You're not going to do it for your whole life.
Yep.
And there is just so many other great things outside of it that you can achieve. And so, at the end of the day, when it gets hard, it's just kind of focus on the other things, because, that's not it. That's not everything. So I think that's my two main points, I would say.
That's good.
I'm like speechless, and I'm also mad that now I have to go, because that was so perfect. I relate to both of those. I think this sounds so cliche, but this is something my mom always told me and my sisters. And I feel like this isn't necessarily gymnastics related, but be yourself. I think when you are yourself, you can be your best self. You can be your best version, and you're confident in who you are, and you know who you are. You're not going into the gym trying to be someone else, I think I've used this example before. If I wasn't, proud of who I am, and I would go into the gym and try to be Nastia Liukin, like, that wouldn't work out for me, considering I don't have one single split down. So owning who you are, being yourself unapologetically, I think is something so huge, because that's where leadership comes into play. When you are yourself, people are drawn to how confident you are. And at the end of the day, that confidence is because you know who you are. And that's something I would want my little girl to be proud of who she is, and to own not only her strengths, but her weaknesses, for sure.
Ooh, good stuff, guys.
Boom, mic drop. Maddie, before we let you go, we want to know what's next for you. Obviously, you've touched on, life isn't all gymnastics, and that's just such an incredible mindset. And again, someone who's had such a long resume in the gymnastics world, that can be super hard to not know who you are and not know what's next. But we'd love to hear, what is next for you?
Mm-hmm. So luckily, honestly, as long as I can remember, I know I've always wanted to do something in the medical field. And I think that has honestly been a blessing that I've, to be able to know direction after school.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to apply for physician assistant school this summer. I am currently working as a personal care aide to kind of gain some experience. I get to work with just some amazing clients. I've met some amazing people already. And as I'm also working on my application, I'm going to submit very soon. So hopefully with that, I will continue to work and then go to school next fall.
I love to hear that. Well, I will be 0% surprised to see you continue to be successful. You have been a blast to watch in gymnastics, but on to bigger and better things. So McKenna and I certainly wish you all the best in what you do next. And thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us today.
Of course. Thank you all for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right, everybody. Well, that will do it for us this week on Chalk Talk. As always, McKenna and I greatly appreciate you all listening and following along. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already so that you get a notification every time we release an episode. The closer we get to a normal season, promise we will go back to our weekly format. But for right now, this is what makes sense. Just a reminder, next episode, we will be recapping Athlete A. So anyone that hasn't watched it, make sure you do that before then. If you have watched it, you might need a refresher. Watch it again. We will be talking in depth about that, and we might even have a couple special guests who can talk to us in depth about that documentary. So everyone, make sure you join us next time. Have a great, healthy, happy couple of weeks. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.